right, welcome to another episode of High Velocity Radio. I'm your host today, Kevin Finn. Stone and Lee are out of the office. They're busy doing different works, but this is a special that we did last year with our local Shark Attack. And in Shark Attack, we're dealing with the six finalists of different startup companies as they compete to pitch their ideas to different local sharks. So welcome, guys, to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Well, in the studio with us today, we have Vince Connor, the chief adventurer of BrandScan. We have Candace Mitchell and Jess Watson with Texturize. We have Adam Hotman, hopefully I pronounced that properly.
Close enough.
With Vault. And we also have Steve Bachman with Collector Dash. And later in the show, we're going to be talking with Corey Moore with Pro Networker, and also Kimberly Smith with Omega Learning. So, guys, welcome. We're going to start off the show with Texturize. Ladies first, always here in the studio. So, Jess and Candace, tell us a little bit about your company and what you guys are aiming to do.
Sure. Our company is Texturize. We are a beauty tech startup here in the Atlanta area. The co-founders, we all met at Georgia Tech. That's our alma mater. And we're very, very passionate about the hair care market. It's a $10 billion industry. But there are a significant amount of consumers who still don't know the best products to buy, the hairstyles to fit their hair type, and local stylists in their area. And so we came together to create a product called Madam You, which is a mobile app for women to discover these things that help them improve their hair care experience.
All right. Well, tell me how it works. My girlfriend would love to hear it. So
Madam You is an app. It's going to be on iPhone first. It should be out next week. We submitted it to Apple. And essentially, you can discover hairstyles, products, as well as local stylists in your area through the phone. And it's really mainly through the perspective of other Black women. That's the target market that we're focused in. And you can see their lifestyle, their journey, their hair decisions through photos.
All right. Well, we only have a bunch of guys in the room. So tell us really the problem and the pain you guys are solving with that. Because I don't understand haircuts. I cut my own hair, if you can't tell. So that's why I'm in radio.
Okay. So Black women, we have a distinct hair type. And we have lots of hair types, actually. And a lot of women don't know what to do with their hair.
Definitely.
They can look at other women and say, oh, that's beautiful, but how do I get that look? This answers that question. It's from the perspective of everyday women. You don't have to be a blogger and you have hair down to your back and you already know what to do, or you're a stylist. This is for women that can tell their own story and help other women as well. So we're providing a community to do that.
I absolutely love that. How did you guys decide to do this and become entrepreneurs and start your own company?
Right. Well, I've always been passionate about being an entrepreneur. And fortunately, at Tech, it's such a vibrant community of just figuring out what you want to do with your technology and engineering background. And so Jess and I are computer scientists, and our other co-founder is a chemical engineer.
Wow.
And yes. And so she actually went into that field because she wanted to create her own hair products. And so we always had the entrepreneurial bug, and we had the credible and great opportunity to join Flashpoint, which is a startup accelerator that's
Definitely.
Based out of Georgia Tech. And when we got accepted to that program, we all knew that this was our calling to really go down that path of becoming an entrepreneur. So I was actually working in corporate America at the time in Dallas, and so I quit my job.
So you had a real job, and you're like, yes. No, I'm going to go do my own thing.
Right. And Jess was just finishing school as well, and our other co-founders, we all found a way to relocate to Atlanta and really start the journey of building Texturize.
Definitely. Well, has it been an easy process, a hard process? I know just going through the Google app process is a hard thing in itself, so...
Yeah, it's been really difficult. It's been a roller coaster ride. There are a lot of highs and lows, but the great thing is that the hardships and the challenges really help you become a great, great business person. So we've been able to learn from great mentors. We've met with different investors who have extreme amounts of knowledge from different industries. We've met with the owners of hair care companies. And so it's all really shaped us to be really, really great businesswomen.
And we won TAG.
You guys
Technology
actually
Association of Georgia Business Launch Competition.
How was that? How many people participated in that, and how was that?
So there are over 100 companies that applied, and so there were different levels. We made it to the semifinals, and then made it to the finals, and that ended up being three companies. And so we all competed and presented to a room full of people out in Tech Square, and we were fortunate to win the top prize. So.
That is great. So what's next on the horizon? Your whole company's called Texturize, and you're working on Madam You right now.
Yes.
What's next? Are you guys going to stop with that, or what's the bigger picture?
Yeah, we have a huge vision. We really want to revolutionize the way female consumers interact with their hair, information, and each other. And we know social media is a huge part of that. So we're tapping into the digital wave of consumers connecting with retail, with other brands, with bloggers, and other celebrities and influencers in the hair care market. But we also have other plans. We want to eventually start a hair care product line one day, eventually down the road. And there's some other things that will spark out of our science and technology vision that will help continue to grow other products that continue to meet the needs of our market.
Okay, so this is like a niche kind of social media just for women and their beauty products and all that kind of stuff, all the stuff guys don't understand, really.
Yes.
That is so great. How do you deal with all the problems that came up being an entrepreneur, and what troubles did you guys face, and did you guys have any mentors along the way that helped you through that?
Yeah, we had awesome mentors, first through Flashpoint, and a lot of people that kind of gravitated to either the hair care market or e-commerce, which is a huge part of our business model, and the media field as well. And so those mentors were help us to able to really learn from them and their experiences. And we just took every challenge and really learned from it and grew and helped us to make it to the next level. And so through that, and also the resources here in the Atlanta startup ecosystem, like Hypopotamus, ATDC, Startup Chicks, we're all a part of those communities.
Definitely.
As well. And so that's been a really, really huge part of helping us be successful.
Well, coming from Georgia Tech, and you guys are staying in Atlanta, which I find really cool, do you find like David Cummings' story really inspirational, how he stayed here, he started ATV and did all that?
Yeah, definitely. It's always important to give back to your community, and I think that was a great example of him doing that, giving back to the startup community. And now there's a physical place where startups can live, breathe, work, do everything, and really learn from each other. And so we hope to do that as well. We're very passionate about inspiring other women to go into science, technology, and engineering fields, because we're still very low in numbers in terms of going into the technology field. So we really inspire women to continue to pursue that and really share our story and our journey, because everyone doesn't get a chance to be an entrepreneur. And so now that we're in it and we can share these learnings, we can really help other people.
Definitely. So how did you guys decide to go get on Shark Attack and take that and you become a finalist? How did you make that decision?
Well, we were selected by TAG since we were the business launch competition winners. We had a suite of services that we were able to receive, and they keep us in the know of different opportunities. And so they selected us to be one of the companies that TAG submitted to participate. And so we competed and we're fortunate to make it to the final level now. So that's how we heard about Shark Pitch, and it's a really, really huge opportunity. We've been wanting to get in front of Damon John for a very long time.
Yes.
Because he is... He knows our market. He started his company FUBU a few years ago, and that was all dominating the urban market. And so we have a very similar story with targeting the African-American hair care market. And also Kevin Harrington has a big affinity for consumer, high niche, high growth markets as well. So we're excited and very happy to be a part of the finalists.
Definitely. Well, congratulations. How do our listeners sort of look and reach out and learn more about what you guys are doing?
You can find us on madameyou.com, MADAMEYOU. And we're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at MyMadameYou.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And we love getting the word out about what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Well, next up on High Velocity Radio, we have Adam Hotman with Vault. And you guys are doing some really cool stuff with stem cells, aren't you?
We're actually representing a revolution in the way that we can collect stem cells. Previously, you've been stuck with the... embryonic or through collecting from cord blood. Well, stem cells, not many people know the actual true ramifications of stem cells. They're responsible every minute of every day for ensuring your health and well-being and maintaining your body. Unfortunately, people just aren't aware. And 3 years ago, I was in the hospital with my wife. We were just getting ready to have our first baby. And the doctor that was working with us pointed out that our genetic medical history is indicative of what we're going to get and what we're going to pass on to our children. And for me, being heavily involved in the medical industry as a serial entrepreneur in lead generation, medical sales, and logistics, it just didn't sit well with me that we've come so far in terms of electronics where we can manipulate things on an atomic level, and yet we still end up in hospitals where we have to use a saw. It just didn't work. It didn't feel right. So I turned my attention back to science to see what was available, and every single avenue I went down resulted in the same outcome. Stem cells. There's 4,700 treatments under development right now. Things that they've tested successfully for the treatment of cancer and diabetes, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, even things such as 3D printing, where they're regenerating organs outside of the human body, is an absolutely amazing technology that's available. The problem we've had is getting access to it. So as an adult, there's really very little option unless you want to go into a hospital and have a bone marrow extraction. It's going to run you about $20,000. Wow. It's just not viable. So we started talking to all the universities to see what our leading medical scientists had to offer. And they pointed out that there's two very simple ways of collecting this, which are currently being discarded as medical waste. Well, it seems an absolute tragedy to throw this material away. Digging in further, we found that it was available really from tooth extractions, very rich in stem cells, and from liposuction, from the fat that's typically discarded. What we did then was we started reaching out to medical professionals and asked them what they were currently doing with the material, and it's a very expensive disposal cost. So we then looked at the opportunity to re-educate patients on the general public via their trusted medical professional. If you go in for a wisdom tooth extraction, or one of your children is, you know, it's now an amazing opportunity for your medical professional to turn to you and say, in the past, we used to have to throw this away. There was no value. But now we've realized it's full of stem cells. We can collect this.
Wow.
And this may actually provide a really valuable treatment, both in terms of any of the diseases I mentioned and longevity.
So what are you guys doing in the space that's different than other people? I know a lot of people are talking about stem cells. What's Vault doing sort of revolutionary and push the process along?
Well, we partnered up with the largest oral surgery group in America. We're looking at doing a deployment and rollout with them in the next couple of weeks. We've got 9 oral surgeons under an exclusive contract with us right away to start offering the product and service to their patients. They believe now that there's an ethical standpoint to get behind, that this is the future standard of care, that we need to embrace what stem cell can offer in terms of true treatments as opposed to maintaining disease state, unfortunately, through what we have in terms of pharmaceutical products available today. So we're working very closely with them on providing educational materials that they can share with their patients, allowing them an opportunity now to get access to this material at really less than the cost of an iPad. It's a great opportunity.
Less than the cost of an iPad, really?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So what all can you do with stem cells? I mean, I've heard rumors you can regenerative material can make you younger, can help cure cancer, all this different stuff. Is that all possible? It sounds like science fiction kind of stuff.
It really does, and that's unfortunately where we've got to in terms of political gand, talking about pro-life and pro-choice. What they failed to talk about is really where we are today and just the amazing opportunities that exist. There's people walking around since 2002 that have 3D printed organs in their bodies. That the only reason they're actually walking around and healthy today is because of that technology. 6 months ago, there was a little girl in the news, which never made it onto the mass media. She was born without a windpipe. A group got together under clinical trial, and they built her a new windpipe on a 3D printer. They filled it with her own stem cells, and they implanted it back into her body, and she became a healthy little girl. Otherwise, she was destined, unfortunately, to pass on.
So you're mentioning the mainstream media is not covering this kind of stuff. Is that one of the troubles that you're facing with Vault is really getting the word out there? Are people trying to stop you this way and that way?
It's a very interesting conversation to have. Typically, you'll be talking to somebody, and while you're talking about adult stem cell collection from wisdom teeth, they're still very much focused on, isn't this just from children? Most people just fail to understand that, you know, your body generates about 100 million new cells every day. It does that from stem cells. The stem cells in your spine are what is actually reproducing you. Every organ, every muscle, every piece of tissue in your body is just full of stem cells, and it's those cells that allow us to procreate and continue. As a baby, 1 in 25,000 cells are a stem cell, which is why babies heal so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you get to 60 years old, it's down to about 1 in 6 million. When you hit 70, it's about 1 in 7 million. So the older you get, the less available these cells become. It's really the aging process is because of this deficiency in your stem cells as they age with you. So obviously, if you can now add a resource back into the human body, which is natural to itself, it can regenerate quicker than it degenerates, and you get the opportunity to start restoring vision to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and, as I say, mitigating some of the most dangerous diseases that have ever been known that we deal with, almost every family deals with on an almost continuous basis in the forms, as I say, cancer and Alzheimer's, diabetes. The Junior Diabetes Association now is actually recommending that people explore stem cell as the future opportunity to reverse these effects. Who wants to live with a disease when ultimately your own body can be used to cure you?
Definitely. I don't think anyone can argue. If you look at the children, how many children this can save, I mean, I don't think anyone would say it's a horrible thing at all if you put them on the spot.
No, it's absolutely fantastic. It's an awesome opportunity. I strongly believe that everybody needs to benefit and have access to this material, which is really, I shut down a very successful medical lead generation business to focus exclusively on this. What I realized in business was, as an entrepreneur, there was no fulfillment in just going to work and generating revenue. The fulfillment came when I realized that if you live your passions, when you wake up in the morning and as an entrepreneur, you always reach the stages where you have fear of what's going to happen next, and you worry about whether you made the right decisions. Well, when you're focusing on a passion, you get up and you still focus on that. You still have that to drive you forward. And, you know, failure only exists when you choose to give up. As an entrepreneur, when you're living a passion, you choose to keep going. You choose to go beyond adversity and to figure out how to make these things work.
And you can just live your dreams out that way. That sounds great. How did you end up? This doesn't sound like a startup at all. This seems like a futuristic sci-fi Star Trek kind of movie you're making here. How did you get into this whole space? Really, like, how did you decide to do a startup out of it?
Well, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've been building companies really my whole life. At age 8, I was organizing yard sales, swapping toys with my friends, and the bug stuck to me ever since. When I came to the States, the States are an amazing opportunity to explore the entrepreneurial spirit better than any other country I've ever been in my life. And being here, I've now, in the last 7 years, built 5 different companies, 2 of which are still running successfully, 2 of which I sold, and 1 of which was the big fish that got away. So now for me, it's all about, I know I can do this and I know I can keep doing these things. I don't want to. I want to focus on something that is going to
change the world.
Really is. And I'm looking forward to that day when we get fan mail, a parent saying, thank you so much. You saved our child's life. Or because of you, or because of what you've done, we're able to actually achieve this ultimate goal of really making life a better place.
Definitely. Well, here's the real question. How much has your success been because of your accent right there? How far has that got you down the road?
Probably 98%.
98%?
Probably, yeah.
So how did you get in and decide to do the Shark Pitch event?
I was talking to Larry one day, and I was just talking about other opportunities, and he suggested that I come along to the group and pitch what we had to say because it was such an unusual opportunity. And it just, everybody afterwards came up to us and said, this is really something that's absolutely fascinating. We can clearly see that you're going to be helping people, you're going to save lives. And we just got tremendous support from the local community. Contribution is the number one thing in everything in life. It's no longer about a product or a service, it's about making people happy. And for as long as you focus on somebody else's happiness and that level of contribution, you find that you get supported by everybody around you and expressed.
Well, definitely. And the Ritz Group, too, they just have that kind of community there for people. And it's just you can safely give your ideas out and people give constructive criticism and you really help grow your company.
Honestly, we wouldn't be sat here today with you had it not been for Larry and the Ritz Group. He's just been so supportive. He's provided every resource and every opportunity necessary to progress this along. And he continues to do so on an almost daily basis.
Definitely. Well, what pains are you feeling? What do you guys need more of? Are you in what kind of funding? You need angel investors? Are you in Series A, Series B? Or where are you really?
Well, I bootstrapped the company to date.
Wow.
So, yeah, I built everything. We actually launch in 2 weeks. So, say we've got, 9 offices now ready to launch with us. I can't handle much more than that. We are looking to raise about $500,000 to help us take it to the next level, automate some of the processes, enhance our marketing material, and look at a 2-state deployment. From that stage, we're looking then at raising a little bit more money, a Series B, at some point in the near future. And then we'll take it out to the next 8 states. That counts for about 53% of the U.S. population, at which point we're looking to really create a synonymous brand for stem cell. As Hoover was to vacuum cleaners, we would love Vault to be to stem cells, enabling all these scientists who are truly genius and wonderful people with their hearts are out there in terms of contribution towards mankind. They don't have the ability necessary to market their product and service. That's where I think we can really help them. If we can build this distribution, build this brand, we can help bring their products and services to market to really enable mankind to be better than it is today.
Well, $500,000 doesn't seem like that much money at all, especially with what you guys are doing. So I wish you guys the best there. How do people, once you guys launch, how are they going to go reach out to you? How do they get your services to people who have kids that might need these processes? Or how does that work?
Well, simply put, at the moment, we are exclusively through oral surgeries in and around the Atlanta area. We can be reached on the website, which is www.vaultstemcell.com. We have a Facebook, we have Twitter, all Vault Stem Cell. Anybody that wants to reach out to us, you know, obviously we publish newsletters, we're keeping everybody up to date on the latest innovations are happening. you know, the stem cell hamburger. They've made the first leather jacket from a 3D printer. There's a tremendous amount of activity. You know, potentially we can print the plate, and then we can print the meat that goes on the plate. It's just a question of cooking it before we're at Star Trek and the replicators.
Well, good luck with Shark Pitch, and thank you so much for coming on the air and telling us about your revolutionary product.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right. How about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Sounds wonderful.
All right. Next up on High Velocity Radio, we have Steve Bachman with Collector Dash. Welcome to the show. I think we've had your partner on here before. So
yes, Bill's joined us before, and I got to say I thank him for letting me come here. I'm following women with hair and stem cells, and you're going to let me talk about action figures, model trains, Barbie dolls, and the likes.
But come on, all the geeks in us, we absolutely love your product. It's super cool. I know about it, but tell our listeners a little bit about it if they haven't been tuning in.
I appreciate it. We love our fans. We have a mobile social e-commerce platform built for communities of raving, crazy, compassionate, insane hobbyists and collectors. It's real simple. And we're out to disrupt the status quo of the eBays and the Amazons that like to give you generic communities. And what we're trying to do is we're building platforms that basically suck these raving fans into and immerse them into an environment where they can live their passions, they can communicate and share with the rest of the folks in their communities. And they do it by being able to go to Collector-Model Trains, Collector-Action Figures, and in the future, a whole bunch of other Collector-communities, all dedicated for a single marketplace so that we don't confuse the fan with why am I here? Well, I'm looking for a vacuum cleaner. I'm looking for a tie-dye shirt, and I also see these three action figures.
Definitely, definitely. So these people, I don't think people realize, these action figure collectors, these train collectors, these things go for a lot of money, and there's really a whole culture around them.
Yeah, a lot of money is one thing, and there's lots of them. On any given day, there are 700,000 items in the action figure sector, 350 to 400,000 items in the model train sector that are being bought and sold. And these get replaced every 2 weeks on eBay alone. So it is a very, very, very large market. People pay from dollars to tens of thousands of dollars to, live their passion. You don't need to, just be a crazy car collector to go out and spend a lot of money for a Barbie or an American Girl doll or, a gun, a duck decoy, a cane. You get in the flavor. There are a lot of them, and they're in many, many different categories. They're young. Mm-hmm. They're old, they're boys, there's girls, they're men, they're women. And we built a white label platform that we can effectively spray paint, add content, a catalog.
Definitely.
We can add the e-commerce, bring together the buyers and the sellers, and let these folks really have fun.
So what spurred this inspiration to make this? It's very unique, it's very niche, and what inspired you guys to do this?
I'll give you the short version of the story. Bill was meeting with an old college friend of his, walking down the street, ran into him, and he kind of said, "All right, Richard, what are you doing?" And the friend said, "I'm collecting Coke cans."
Okay.
And Bill said, No. What are you doing?" He says, "I'm collecting Coke cans." Bill said, "No, what are you doing for a living?" And he said, "I'm collecting Coke cans." And he's buying and selling Coke cans, has 10,000 of them. Bill walked away refreshed to see an old friend and very perplexed. But being the classic product guy, our founder, Bill Jones, is he helped and went out and tried to understand the problem. And what he found is the problem that Coke can collectors, action figure collectors, model train collectors, all these collectors have is to find out anything about your passion, you need to be a Google, superstar.
Yeah, definitely.
Because there's not a single place you can go to bring all this information and the community together. Mm-hmm. That led Bill to think, if there's not a single place to go, maybe building a community to do so made some sense. We ran some market tests, and before we know it, we're in business.
All right. Well, I talked to Bill about this last time, but what's the most expensive Coke can that guy had, if you know? Because I remember they were ridiculously expensive.
You're not going to get me in trouble with the IRS, are you? it was thousands and thousands of dollars. Let me just leave it at that.
Yeah, definitely. So where have you guys gone? I know you were just starting out when we talked to you last time. How's it grown? Have you run into any trouble, any problems, or how's the process been going?
I want to say it's been a walk in the park, like all startups are. We've made a ton of progress. We're getting 1 million hits a month on the website. We got almost 1 million items in our catalogs. We got tens and tens and tens of thousands of users in our communities. And the best news is, and what makes us most happy every day, is we're actually generating revenue and making money. So needless to say, the investors are happy, and we're pleased as well. It's never easy. We always want to move faster. We always want to move, more definitively. And it's just not hard to do in this community called the internet. So, like everybody else, we have our challenges every day, but that's what keeps us excited about getting up every morning.
Okay, well, how does this work for someone, a consumer that wants to go in there and really likes action figures, G.I. Joes maybe they collect? How do they go in there and go into the site and navigate through it or sell their items? Is it pretty easy?
Absolutely. First of all, we have the largest catalog of action figures any place in any one place in the world. So if you're a Star Wars fan, if you're a G.I. Joe fan, if you're a Masters of the Universe fan, we have it, and it's built into the catalog, and that catalog is a crowdsourced catalog. So we have our community continually updating it. You identify the items you have, the items you want, the items you like. We have a built-in collection management system, so you can see what you have, but you can also see what you don't have. If you want to buy something or sell something, we have a built-in community where one can either sell or buy in individual items or a group of items via fixed price or auction-style marketplace. It's a couple of clicks at a button, and you're ready to go.
So basically this is a place where I can put, if I'm a collector, I can put all my items in there, and from anywhere I am, I have a computer, I can access them. But once you have thousands and thousands of things, it's hard to really keep track of what you have.
Absolutely. We're a SaaS platform. We're in the cloud. You don't necessarily need to go just to your computer. We also support mobile. So you can bring your collection. I have my collection of action figures and model trains on my iPhone here. We support all the Android devices. So the goal is you need to have it wherever you want, whenever you want. Because if you're at you're walking down the street and you see a garage sale, you want to find out what the value of an item is that you think you might want to buy. You want to have your collector dash available with you. More importantly, if you already have it, you probably don't want to buy it again. So all those things are important to collectors, and that's what we got to give you.
So I can go, if I see something, even if I'm not a collector and I think, well, maybe this is like, I'm thinking Antique Roadshow, I'm like, maybe this is worth a lot of money. I can put it into collector dash and it'll tell me an estimated value based on condition and stuff?
Absolutely. You can do that. We don't offer the values guide as part of our free component. We have a free component or freemium. We have a club membership, which gives you some enhanced capabilities and mobility. And then our premium subscription gives you all the values guides. But for $59.95 a year for model trains, $25 a year for action figures.
That's nothing. That is definitely a steal. So what's next for you guys? What are you guys tackling next?
We are working with a number of other partners and looking at what our next category is. Mm-hmm. And we're talking to everybody from people in the coins world to the stamps world to the canes world to the duck decoys world. We're trying to figure out what the next category is, what those characteristics are going to be for success, and we're looking to find a partner to expand.
Definitely. So how'd you get involved with the Ritz Group and in this Shark Pitch Week?
Well, shoot, the Ritz Group is truly the place to go if you're a startup and want to get connected to the right folks. We're here with the Sharks because Bill and the team won TAG's business launch competition a year ago, and
we got a lot of winners up in here. So
thank you very much. and Tino picked up the phone, and we all know when Tino picks up the phone, you show up.
All right, so Steve, how do we get in contact? How do you sign up for Collector Dash?
Great question. www.collector-.com is our general site. If you're an action figure collector, it's collector-actionfigures.com. Model train collector, collector-modeltrains.com. And we're on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other wonderful places, Pinterest, et cetera, easy to find.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on and telling us more about how your ideas developed. We love hearing about it.
Thank you very, very much.
All right. Well, next up on High Velocity Radio, we have Vince Coiner, hopefully I didn't mess up your name too much, and he's the chief adventurer, I absolutely love that title, with Brand Scanned. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Definitely.
And yes, you got the name correct.
I did. That's a first. I know I'm going to mess up someone's name before the end of the show, I guarantee it. So tell us a little about Brand Scanned.
Well, Brand Scanned, if you notice on the card, it says the branded adventures of your everyday life.
It sounds good to me. I'm sold already. I don't even know what it is.
Well, basically, what we do is we make it easy for consumers to participate in contests and loyalty programs from marketers. As an example, if anybody's ever had the experience of their kids coming home and say, Mommy and Daddy, can we go buy some Campbell's soup? And you ask them why, and they say, well, because we want to tear off the label so we can take them into school and get credit for the school. That's an example of a loyalty program.
Definitely.
And lots of different companies run them. And the thing is, from the consumer's perspective, they frequently make the marketers make it difficult for the consumers to participate. My Coke Rewards is an example. You know, you've got this bottle cap. Well, you drink the soda, and you got to take the bottle cap home with you. Then you got to go, and you got to put there's a number inside the bottle cap, and you got to go and put that in their website.
Yeah, who actually does that? I used to cut off the box tops, but I don't ever plug in a number anywhere.
Well, there's lots of different ways. Some companies, Nestle, as a matter of fact, they want you to call an 800 number and listen to a message, and then once you've listened to the message, they tell you to go like their Facebook page, and then you'll be entered into a drawing.
So the 7-year-old kids that drink Nestle are going to do that, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, the bottom line is it's one of those things where these companies are certainly not getting the full potential from running a program because they're not getting nearly as many participants. And from the consumer's perspective, you know, the truth of the matter is it's just it's too difficult. And so, you know, we said, well, wouldn't it be a lot easier if rather than have to do all those things and jump through those hoops, someone could just eat their candy bar and then take out their cell phone, scan the code that's on the inside of the wrapper, and then they'd be entered into the company's loyalty program, and then an overarching loyalty program that's available for lots of different brands. And from a consumer's perspective, you know, a one-stop shop, a place where you can go and just have to download one app, that's a much different proposition than having to go and remember to take the wrapper home with you and go to somebody's website or like a Facebook page or something like that.
I'm sure a lot more people are going to win a lot more prizes because of you. So.
Well, hopefully the marketers will sell a lot more products as a result.
Definitely. So where were you when you had this idea? Were you drinking some Nestle, or were you trying to sign up for these rewards?
Well, I think the genesis of it was the fact that you know, I do some work with some schools. And I'm walking into one of the middle schools. I can't remember which one. And I look, and there's a box inside the office. And the box on the side says, put your Campbell's soup labels here. And, you know, a lot of people listening may not be able to remember this, but 1973, when they came out with the label program, I was in third grade. And I remember doing it when I was in third grade, and I was thinking to myself, I mean, now I'm like, it's kind of nuts. I mean, 1973, All in the Family, I think, was like the number one show. I don't know what was on the radio. But, you know, 40 years later, things are much different. Yet in this case, they're doing something that's, you know, very, very similar. They've expanded it a little bit in terms of, you know, now that you've got UPC codes. You didn't have those back then. But at the end of the day, it's very simple. And it seemed to me that, you know, consumers don't have time to watch, you know, a 10-second commercial when they're watching a video. They probably aren't going to take the time to jump through all these hoops for these marketers. And so if there was a way to do it in such a manner that made it convenient for customers, then you know, there's a big opportunity there. And frankly, the opportunity is really enormous. In 2012, Americans spent about $750 billion on consumer packaged goods, you know, things like you know, candy bars, bottles of water, you know, detergent, lots of all those different kinds of things, and the companies they spent about $32 billion marketing those products, and the reality is that about 1% of that went to mobile, And the reason is because there's really no vehicle that makes sense for a marketer to put their money into mobile. And it's kind of like the internet was about 10 years ago in 2000.
Didn't they say it was a fad? Was that the words behind it?
It could have been. And you know, if you look at 2002, the internet took in about 2.5% of all of the advertising dollars in the U.S., despite the fact that people were spending over 10% of their time on it.
Mm-hmm.
10 years later, last year they got about 22%. And so you can see how it grew really rapidly once, in this case, it was Google with their pay-per-click that really sort of launched everything. And so you can see the same thing with mobile, where consumers are spending in excess of 10% of their time on the mobile device, but no marketing dollars are going there. So the marketers, they need a reason to put their money behind mobile. And, that's a brand scan.
All right. Well, I absolutely love that. Yeah, everyone's trying to wait and see who cracks the code on mobile advertising before they want to jump into the deep end. But that's such a great idea. How has it been being an entrepreneur and growing this company? What troubles have you run into?
Well, it's a it's new, but being an entrepreneur is always a it's always an adventure. And one of the things, at least, that's indicative of my entrepreneurial experience is that the things that I do generally result from experiences that I've had. In that, I suppose some people can sit in a room and sort of ideate and come up with something sort of off the wall with having no experience. Whereas me, I base the things that I do on the things I actually do in my everyday life, and this happens to be exactly what this is. And this is it's very much a startup, a pre-revenue startup. And it's interesting that when I explain what it is that I'm doing to different people, invariably people are like, wow, that's a great idea. But there's always that chasm or this distance between it's a great idea and turning that into a viable business. So that that's always that's always the challenge.
Well, what's next for you guys?
Well, so we're trying to raise $250,000, and that money is going to go to building. First finalizing and strengthening our patent. Then we're going to build our app and the back end to go along with it. And then in the spring, what we really want to do is we want to get about a half a dozen small marketers to do a pilot program. And then we want to go from there. We look at this and we say, there is definitely an opportunity. And if you can demonstrate clearly from a marketer's perspective that it makes real sense for them, there's a lot of there's a lot of demand out there in terms of marketers want to put their money where consumers are.
Definitely.
They want a place to put it where they know they can get a real effect. And so we obviously want to demonstrate that.
So how's the experience been on Shark Pitch so far?
It's been great. It's been fantastic. I've been going to Ritz Group since actually was in the Ritz Hotel. So I've been doing that, and you talk to a lot of different people, but this particular experience has been very, very good. It's sort of like I put it similar to when I was in basic training. You go in and they cut off all your hair and you come out something different than you did when you went in, and you learn how to do certain things. And so Larry has been incredible with that, and just from the very first pitch, trying to focus on what people, not necessarily what you want to tell him,
mm-hmm.
what they want to hear in terms of the value that you bring. And he's done a great job, at least in terms of helping me hone my message. And so it's been very good.
Well, you can definitely tell, and I'm guaranteed that's why you made it to the finals. So thanks for being on. And how do people reach out and learn more about this?
They can go to brandscanned.com.
Okay, well, thank you. How about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
It's a pleasure.
All right, well, next up on High Velocity Radio, we have Kimberly Smith with Omega Learning. Welcome, Kimberly.
Thank you.
So tell me, what is this Omega Learning about?
Well, we're a local franchisor. Okay. And 8 years ago, our vision was to bridge the gap between the $8 billion tutoring franchise business and the $50 billion private school business that had yet to break into the franchise world. So we have the world's first franchised private school, K through 12.
Wow.
So, yes, it's pretty exciting. So our tutoring, our hybrid business model really includes both tutoring by night and private school by day. And it's a fairly low brick-and-mortar investment, $123,000 to $183,000 for the franchisee. And there's, you know, several value adds. We have proprietary curriculum that is aligned with Common Core standards. We're the country's first tutoring franchise system to get to market with proprietary curriculum that's aligned with Common Core. So that means a lot to our franchisees because we're aligned with the school's curriculum. And as the country changes, and there's a lot of changes coming on board for all of our public school systems, and we're poised and ready to take that market share.
So what made you decide to sort of tackle this problem that we have?
Well, it evolved. We set out to be a franchisor and compete with the Sylvan and Huntingtons of the world.
Okay.
We knew that the communication was lacking in that industry. So we developed a software system that would enable our tutors to quickly and easily communicate daily to not only the parents at home, but also the child's teachers at school. So to date, we are the first and only franchise system for tutoring, and then there's a lot out there, that really has this technology. So we're first to market with that. And we wanted to provide quality service. You know, I have two children of my own.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And again, you know, we definitely pull from our life resources. So my sister and my mother and I developed this company. We're local here. We're in Acworth. We just sold our first corporate center for
congratulations
for quite a bit, which will enable us to really tackle franchising. So we're post rev. We have 12 franchise centers in 5 states and 8 in Atlanta. So.
Well, it seems like you're solving a huge problem, and it seems very cool to me that you can basically if a kid's having a problem, maybe a learning disability or something, you see that and you can connect with the parents right there through a new kind of technology so that they can know about it and you can stay on top. It's like teaching a kid 24/7.
That's right, and it's reciprocal communication. So the teachers at school communicate, and we build a relationship from that that experience. And the tutors, you know, in that communication, the parents, we create an academic team. And the academic growth is exponentially increased. I mean, our students in tutoring increase 2 years and 6 months on average after their 95-hour tutoring program. So that's substantial growth. And we have a comprehensive solution. We don't just do homework help. You know, mm-hmm. we really do tackle what the child needs and what the parents want, which is remediation and filling skill gaps. Homework help, test preparation, study skills, which is really important for everybody. And also enrichment, which is building critical thinking skills and getting these kids not just to rely on their short-term memory, but to build critical thinking skills and application skills, which is a big buzzword right now in education with the Common Core curriculum.
Well, I have to think that these teachers that work for you guys have to have a lot of value because they feel like they're really getting across to the kid. They're in constant communication with the parents. So that must be great for the teachers. So they don't feel like they're just someone's dropping off their kid and then taking them and they're not making an impact.
That's a great point. And as a matter of fact, you know, we were the first franchising tutoring system to think so highly of our educators and their part in our business model that we really put them at the core of our model and built this communication system around them. It's a quite advanced software system that we developed for our franchisees, and just one component is the eTutor software system. And one thing I wanted to mention is our private school is accredited. So our franchisees open accredited nationwide, which is really important.
Well, it's definitely important.
And also our tutoring centers as well. So less than 5% of the tutoring centers in this country are accredited. And our franchisees open accredited. And the private school's an 8-to-1 ratio. You just can't find that. So it's market exclusive.
Definitely. So what kind of curriculum are you teaching these kids? I mean, at such a young age, they're like they're sponges and they're picking up everything. So what do you guys offer?
We offer, because we're a private school, we offer our curriculum. We use Bob Jones University in Saxon for math, McDougal Little for math. So we have various resources. We use multisensory instruction materials because we do have an 8-to-1 ratio. We're able to really individualize the instruction and pull from Orton-Gillingham techniques and just, you know, really specialized instruction so that our students increase and our increase academically. Our goal is to increase 2 years and 4 months in a 10-month school year for each child, and we've hit those goals. As a matter of fact, we have 100% success rate getting into college.
Wow, congratulations. Well, this seems big. I talk to people every day, and there's these very successful business owners that talk about the education system and how it's not working, how they really wish they could have become a teacher or something. Well, this is a way they can open a franchise with their business skills and give back to kids that way. That seems like just came to mind. So.
That's right, absolutely. And we do have also I want to mention the homeschool market. You know, that's a quarter of this country and growing. So the private school markets has seen a 20% increase, and tutoring has also seen a 12% increase in the last 2 years alone. So we have a relevant and timely business model, and we're profitable, and we're seeking $800,000 for, you know, expansion for our company.
So let's say, what kind of kids do you teach when the age range that you actually teach actually in school there that's not part of the tutoring? What's that range?
We have a K-12 private
school.
Oh, really?
So it's completely K-12.
Absolutely.
So I could send my kid there in kindergarten, and they could stay all the way through to high school and then...
Absolutely. And we have all the amenities of a large private school except for sports. And, you know, frankly, our students want to graduate, and, mm-hmm. and academics are really important to them. We have National Honor Society, Junior Achievement. They wear uniforms from Land's End. We have community service monthly, which is very
huge.
Important to parents, and I think it's important to everybody. It is a Christian private school. We have Christian fundamentals, but we do have all faiths represented at our school. They understand that the 8-to-1 ratio is just really important. Community service. We have field trips every other month. Our seniors went to Sedona, Arizona last year.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, we're excited about the growth and providing a much-needed service to the communities.
Well, how would someone, if they wanted to open one of these franchises, what do they need? Do they need to find land for it? What are the requirements?
No, we're actually a brick-and-mortar in a strip center.
Okay.
So you only need 1,500 square feet, which is really the beauty
really?
Of this business model, yes. There's actually 528 billable hours per week in 1,500 square feet, just for tutoring alone. And then in an 8-to-1 ratio private school, we would have 3 classrooms of 8 students to supplement the business owner's income and make use of the space during the day. So it maximizes their square footage and their investment.
So you're helping kids out, teaching them a lot of good stuff. They're going off to college, and you also have a profitable business. That sounds like a win-win to me.
It is a win-win. Yes, our franchisees have been able to break even in 3 to 6 months, which is really unheard of in business. So good.
Talk about Shark Pitch and where you are now because of it.
Right, yes. Larry White has been great in helping, and the Ritz Group.
I hear that a lot. So it's
yes.
It's a theme of the show.
Right. Well, we've partnered with Franet, which is
a
premier broker. Association in the country, really. We feel the best, and they've helped us immensely. And Phil Cuban, who really started Franet years mm-hmm. ago, is here local in Atlanta as well and become a mentor and good friend and recommend I speak with Larry White. And so that's how I got in the group and competed and got to this point. So very excited and thankful.
Well, definitely. So how do our listeners reach out, learn more about this, and how they can get one of these?
Right, exactly. You need to go to omegalearning.com. or OmegaPrivateAcademy.com to look at our two business models.
Mm-hmm.
And Omega Learning is the brand, so the core concept. You can fill out an application online, and I will give you a call.
Definitely. And are you looking for more teachers, more students? What's your need?
We have a wide array of backgrounds in our current franchisees. So we're in 5 states. They come from mostly a finance background, actually, but we've got a couple of teachers. Our franchisees, we teach them to not work in the business, but work on the business. So okay. we want them to be marketing, sales and marketing is what's going to grow their business. And we let the educators do what they do best. And we give them complete autonomy with their students because, you know, they have the same tutor each week when the students come in.
Well, thank you so much for being on and telling us about your concept.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, now we have the grand poobah of the Ritz Group. Larry White is in the studio with us. And welcome to the show, Larry.
Thank you, Kevin. I think, first of all, the Ritz Group's getting far too much credit. But isn't it exciting about what we in Atlanta have right, you know, beneath our feet, mm-hmm. if you will, in terms of innovation?
Well, it's crazy because this is supposed to be an event. The Shark Pitch is supposed to be for startups, but all these people are from so different things. We got franchising going on. We have all different levels. And I just love that. So you're bringing them all in. So
well, that was interesting. The executive producers of Shark Pitch came to us and asked if we could help. And I said, well, you know, I could under two conditions. And the two conditions were that the program and the effort and the annual event be about the Georgia ecosystem. And the Georgia ecosystem is far more than just the Ritz Group.
Yeah.
And it's far more than inner city Atlanta or Atlanta. It's Georgia. And you guys know that that's been my theme.
Definitely,
having come
yeah.
on this show many times and talking about my vision for the Ritz Group. And I said the second thing I want it to feature pre-rev companies
mm-hmm.
For the $10,000, which was the real bone at the end of the day. I said I wanted to feature revenue companies and later stage companies and not a bunch of people with good ideas.
Well, everyone has good ideas, but who acts on them? These
Absolutely.
Guys.
and as you can see from just the three presentations or the four presentations right. we had here this morning, that they represent pre-rev, rev, and later stage.
Yeah.
Kimberly is clearly a later stage company.
Mm-hmm.
And they came back and said, Larry, we accept. And I said, I felt like the dog that caught the car. And I go, oh, my gosh, got to do this. And so I called up Raj and Tino, and I said, we have an opportunity to do an event, an annual event. I'm not going to do it unless you guys are in with me. And they've been sharks. Both of them have been sharks on the Ritz Group Shark Attack. And they said, Larry, that sounds like a great idea. We're in. They assigned two coordinators, and the rest is history. So this is not about the Ritz Group. This is about the ecosystem, and you couldn't have two better partners in Tag and Ty.
Yeah.
And they went out and got the best of their organizations, and then we put each of us represented six, and I took two at large, and we had a top 20 contest where we had five independent sharks that judged the top 20 people giving a two-minute pitch and 3 minutes of questions. And well, that was hard getting him to do that, but we did it. And then the goal was to subjectively score them, the five sharks voted, and come up with six people that represented represented shark pitch and that didn't upset Tag, Ty, or anybody else. It was fair among for everybody.
Definitely.
And it sounded sounds kind of easy and kind of neat. I can tell you we were worried. Had a great number of applicants, which was really good in all three categories. And the pitches went, you know, we were worried about, like, gee, the pitch contest was going to be 5 hours long. And it turns out we were able to execute that. And I think what we have going up on Saturday, which is the day after tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
We have got, which was our objective, six companies that well represent Georgia's ecosystem.
Definitely. That's what I was seeing here.
I would put these six companies up against anything else I've seen. And it's certainly one that when you get prestigious people coming in to judge them, that you say, this is Georgia. And I'm not afraid to put any of these six companies up against and say, this is Georgia. And in addition to that, both for the audience.
Yeah, definitely.
It's important.
Well, speaking of the audience, to come see these guys and give their pitch and see the sharks, it's only $10, right? It's very, very...
Well, no, I think it's 45.
It's 45?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was looking on the website, and you get... Yeah.
It might have been $10 for one of the pre-events. We had a free event, and then we had the top 20, and then the main event is tomorrow.
Yeah, the 12th,
and,
right?
Right. Okay. And in addition to tomorrow, we also have, in addition to two panels, and then the main event is these people pitching for $10,000.
Wow.
One of these folks is going to win $10,000.
That's not chump change right there.
Well, and of course, my contract is I get lunch.
You get lunch?
If it's one of my people.
Well,
that's why we coach so hard.
Well,
the lunch is going to be in Paris.
Yes. Yeah, well, they didn't ask that question, Vince, but that's a good idea. So, and then after that, we were so successful in sending the executive summaries to Kevin Harrington, and his staff got back and said, we'd like to do one-on-ones.
Wow.
What can you do with the people that didn't make the top six, the 20 and any others that want to pitch one-on-one for 5 minutes to Kevin Harrington? But these companies that are pitching in the sidebar a program in the afternoon must be consumer-oriented companies with mass consumer appeal, whereas our requirements for the $10,000 could it be any company from technology to consumer appeal.
Wow.
So now we have 25 people that will get one-on-one sessions with Kevin Harrington that are pitching consumer goods.
That is amazing.
So now the whole story says these six the six companies that are pitching in the main event and 25 companies that are pitching after the main event one-on-one actually have a shot at going, quote, big time, or at least making some inroads.
You guys are walking the talk. You guys do so much for Atlanta and Georgia just for our different small businesses and startup companies. It's so great.
Well, we hope this has been a learning experience and will continue to be a learning experience. We really hope that this can be an annual event for Georgia's ecosystem. And next year involve more than just Ritz Group, TAG, and TIE. We want to be able to involve the beautiful part about Atlanta and Georgia is that we have 18 to 19 companies and accelerators. And my advice to all of these entrepreneurs and anybody else listening is it's just not one group. Join as many groups, as many organizations here locally, even nationally, to get your story out. If you perfect your story, it'll fit lots of places. And you should be in TAG. You should be in TIE. You should support all of the ecosystem as it applies to your particular product and or your knowledge level or growth within the food chain of funding.
Definitely. Well, let's give the contact information for the Ritz Group. And how can people get tickets to this and watch this?
Tickets go to www.sharkpitchusa.com.
All right.
And the Ritz Group is www.ritzgroup.org.
All right. Well, this is Kevin Finn for Larry White and all our guests today, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on High Velocity Radio.